You're traveling through another dimension. A dimension comprised of knowledge, opinions, and entertainment. A journey on a virtual information highway into a wondrous land whose boundaries are more distant than the outer reaches of the Twitter sphere. Your next stop, the Trend Zone.
Hello and welcome to the Trend Zone. Casey here with Dave. We're the football dudes. Dave, are you ready, my brother?
You got that right, my friend.
All right, then. Our next stop is the Trend Zone. In today's episode, we'll check in with mandatory minicamp in Green Bay and see if their main man was there. Also, we'll talk about the huge trade that sent Julio Jones to the Titans and what that means for both the Titans and the Falcons. And we're going to shove all our chips to the middle of the table as we remember an NFL coaching legend. Dave, but before we get rolling, brother, do you have a tasty nug for the peoples?
I'm going to give a little nug to the peeps, Casey. I'll tell you what, the 17th game, Casey, the fact that it's NFC versus AFC has resulted in some pretty tasty matchups, including 14 Super Bowl rematches in this 2021 season, the biggest season ever, including Super Bowl I, Packers at Chiefs in Week 9. That sounds awesome. Nice. Actually, the most recent Super Bowl matchup that will be rekindled will be the Patriots-Falcons. That's Week 11, man. That's a Thursday nighter, too. Obviously, the Falcons might have a little vengeance on their minds there, right?
Yeah, that beak is still a little ornery how that second half went down, man. Oh, ornery Falcons, Dave. Speaking of ornery, bro, Aaron Rodgers, there was speculation if he would or would not show up for minicamp. Yeah. He was a no-show at Packers mandatory minicamp on Tuesday, confirming a lack of gruntleness from the reigning MVP. He also missed OTAs for the first time in his career this spring. But, Dave, those were voluntary. And what do voluntary mean?
Hey, man, that doesn't mean mandatory, that's for sure. And, you know, by skipping this minicamp, Casey, you know what? It's the first time he's ever done it, and it's costing – this minicamp is costing him $93,000, which is chump change. He's already given up $500,000 for missing OTA in terms of a workout bonus, right? But that's nothing compared to what he would be giving up if he were to stay away and, let's say, I guess, retire. It would be giving up his $14.7 million salary for this year, and he'd have to have to pay back just about $30 million, dude. That's almost $45 million to not play football coming off of MVP season.
Man, well, too bad they haven't been able to find any pictures of that infamous Roger Sourpuss while running that B-roll. He's always all smiles. Oh, man. Yeah, dude. You know, that might be bad news for Packer fan, but there is some good news for Jordan Love. But is that good news for Packer fans?
Well, according to ESPN's Rob Domofsky, Casey, Love has, quote, struggled with accuracy during practice.
Is that
there,
important?
Dude. That's kind of important, especially when you're not really playing against the defense, right? Obviously, you know, not the best sign going 12 of 23 in the all team, activities there, as well as a failed 2-minute drill, man. But, you know, they did see the bright side, which is that arm that they like. The arm strength is there, Casey. So they've got raw talent there, and maybe he gets over the jitters and gets enough snaps under his belt with, Rodgers not there that he can get it really going. Who knows?
Reminds me of a young Uncle Rico. Well, Dave, you know who was back on the field in minicamp? My guy, Dak Prescott, baby, the $40 million man.
Yeah, man. And McCarthy expects Dak to be a full go for the training camp coming off that bum ankle issue there. And that is exciting news for the Cowboys. How about them Cowboys?
Dude, after what we saw last October and how awful that pit in my stomach felt and just not knowing what the hell was going on and then seeing how tragic the rest of the season was, that's all good news. And they're hopefully going to be out here in Oxnard and maybe do some joint practices with the Rams. So that's all TBD, but it is very exciting for the Cowboy fans.
I like joints. Okay.
Hey now. All right, Dave, while we're here, baby, Julio Jones, it seemed like it was only a matter of time before this trade went down, specifically June 1st, but Julio Jones, officially a Tennessee Titan.
Yeah, man, and wow, the Titans getting Jones. Falcons, of course, get out of it, a 2022 second rounder and a 2023 fourth rounder, and the Titans get Julio Jones and a sixth rounder back in 23. pretty awesome acquisition, obviously huge talent. So the Titans take on Jones's salary of $15.3 million and 2 more years after that. But he does has made some sounds, noises, as if he would like a restructuring, at least probably at the end of this next season. Falcons, of course, $7.75 million in dead money this year as a result of moving Jones's contract. But they were under the gun in terms of their salary cap. They needed to do something, and this was the piece they had to get rid of.
Yeah, dude, they didn't even have money to sign their draft class. You move Julio, an aging superstar. You draft Pitts at tight end. You have Calvin Ridley emerging as one of the top receivers in this league. So, Dave, this feels like a win on the Falcons, but this might be their second win on this Julio deal.
Yeah, when we go back in time to the 2011 draft.
Oh, got to do the doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, even though they can't see. Okay.
It was Thomas Dimitroff, dude, and it was a huge trade. Actually, he contacted Belichick. Belichick said, no, too much to give up, but he went ahead and did it anyways, right? They were selecting 27th. They traded that pick with the Browns to get up to the sixth pick overall, and they gave up their first rounder, that 27th pick, as well as their second and fourth rounders in 2011 and their first and fourth rounders in 12. So it seemed like a crap load that they gave up for Julio here. But the Browns, of course, made all those picks, and it's a package of dudes that don't amount to Julio Jones's career by any stretch of the imagination. They got Brandon Weeden. That was a starter for a little while at the quarterback position, but ultimately the Weed man did not win the trade for the Browns. The Falcons came away pretty good, and now after 10 years of great service from Julio, they get a little something back to sort of mitigate what they originally gave up for him. So Atlanta, well done.
Yeah, dude, and now you're getting one of the best all times to a Tennessee offense that, you know, is not lacking for that big play. But you look at what Julio's done, and, you know, it's so impressive, dude.
Oh, no question. Yeah. I mean, obviously, over the 10 years that he's been there with the Falcons, he's just been a dominant player. 1,800 plus yards 1 year, almost 1,700 another year, selected to the Pro Bowl 7 times and All Pro twice. So, yeah, the Titans, obviously, in a situation where they're looking to add talent, and this is a big time talent.
Yeah. And, dude, you speaking of these Titans, man, they've been in the playoffs 3 of the last 4 years. They almost got to the Super Bowl a couple of 2019, almost beat those Chiefs and, you know, won the South last year. So they look like they're pretty damn close. So yeah, Julio's, you know, 32. He's towards the end of his career, but you got to think there's still something left there. They had Corey Davis, who was just he was the 5th overall pick just a few years ago. Last year, he had 65 catches, almost 1,000 yards and 5 TDs. Julio did almost that in just 9 games. And Dave, you look and you think Julio's kind of been banged up. He was last year, but that's not really been the case.
Yeah, it hasn't, Casey. And I kind of felt the same thing, but you know, last year, obviously he didn't play as many games, but prior to that, he did have some injuries, but he played through the injuries and was very productive. In fact, since 2014, Casey, he's played 92 of 96 games possible to him, and he's been very productive. He averaged over 100 catches per season over that 6-year span. So I think it was almost 104 catches a season. So, I mean, that's the productivity that any football team can have, right?
Yeah, and why this makes sense for the Titans, we mentioned Corey Davis gone. They also lost Jonnu Smith. He went to the Patriots. But the Titans added from the Rams. We saw this guy a lot, Josh Reynolds. He likes to play in the slot. This is really going to open up his game. But, Dave, the contract that Corey Davis got with the Jets, 3 years, $38 million. That's right about where Julio is. You mentioned he's showed he would like to see a new contract. Let's see how that played off. That's kind of a wash, though, when you talk about the money, but you cannot deny Julio's you know, impact on an offense, man. This is going to make this a brutal team. They already have King Henry back there, has led the league in rushing 2 years ago. Now you have one of the biggest set of receivers on the outside, maybe in the history of football, dude.
Right. I mean, are you going to try and double cover one or both of those guys? And then they're just going to hand the ball off. If there's not 8 in the box, it's advantage Titans and advantage King Henry. They're looking to really, really make it difficult on the defenses in the NFL.
Yeah, dude, A.J. Brown tried to give Julio 11. He said he wouldn't take it. Thought maybe a return to 8. That's if he could pry it away from rookie punter James Schmidt. Sorry, Schmitty, you got to get a new number. You know? But if he wants 8, just rip the name tag off those old Mariota jerseys. Boom.
Yeah, there you go, man. Save a couple of bucks, man.
Yeah. But actually, it just came out today that Julio will be wearing number 2. So save your money, Titan fan, and hopefully you didn't destroy that Mariota jersey just yet, and you go get the Julio. But Dave, the AFC South is wide open, man. Tons of trouble in Houston down there.
Yeah.
First year quarterback with Trevor Lawrence and first year coach in Jacksonville. And the Colts look like they have a lot of pieces in place, but Carson Wentz is coming off a couple terrible seasons. So the time is now for these Titans, dude. They've been close,
yeah.
And that defense needed a lot of work. Of course, they spent a ton of picks in the draft on defense. They added Bud Dupree, Janoris Jenkins, and DeNico Autry. So, you know, it might be the time to get it going. So Tennessee's like, yeah, let's do this right now.
Yeah, dude, I think it's an awesome, you know, when your team is that close and you know, it gets great when you're going to the playoffs every year, but then you actually want to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And that's where this Titans team is right now. And this might be the missing piece right now. Obviously this offseason, what they've done with their roster and adding Julio, man, it's just going to be very, very exciting to see what they're able to do.
And he's out of the NFC, so that's good news for me. Won't see him unless it's in the Super Bowl. All right, Dave, I want to talk a little bit about Alex Smith. This was a 2020 NFL Comeback Player of the Year, and ESPN E60 just released the Project 11, Alex Smith's final drive. Dude, and if you haven't seen this thing, go out and watch it right now. Just a remarkable journey, dude. You cannot believe what this guy did to get back to the NFL.
Yeah, no question about it, Casey. I mean, he had so many setbacks there. When you think about his whole career, he always seemed to overcome adversity. You know, he was obviously the first overall draft pick, so that wasn't adversity there. But then the pressure of performing, ultimately replaced as the starter in San Francisco, moved on to Kansas City, and then was prospering there, taking them to the playoffs just like he did with the 49ers. And, of course, they draft Mahomes and replace him again. He goes to Washington and he's leading the Redskins, and suddenly the horrible leg break that obviously led him to this situation. But he wasn't going out like that either, Casey. He was gonna find a way to come back, and man, surgery after surgery and the infections, like you said, you just got to watch the show to really fully embrace what he went through.
Totally, dude. The doctors at one point in this documentary are saying, to hell with the leg. We're just trying to save this guy's life.
Yeah.
And for him to come back, not only to be able to walk again, not only save the leg, to compete at the NFL. He went 5-1 with Washington last year, dude.
Yeah.
Just a remarkable story. If you weren't a fan of Alex Smith before this, you're going to be a huge Alex Smith fan. After you watch it, go out, check it out. You will not regret it.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Dave, a little bit of sadness on the trend zone today. Jim Fossil, whose bold guarantee of a playoff bid late in 2000 season, catapulted the Giants to a spot in the Super Bowl. Coach Fossil passes away at 71.
Yeah, man, Fossil, 97 NFL Coach of the Year, was the Giants head coach from 97 to 2003, 58-53-1. Obviously, like you mentioned, got the team to the Super Bowl, 2-3 in postseason, and including a loss in the Super Bowl to the Ravens there, in 2001. But, definitely a classy guy, man. And when he put all his chips in the center of the table, he's all in. Man, that was a bold statement, there. And that was, and he paid it off.
Yeah. And dude, we were fortunate enough to get to meet and work with Coach Fossil when we were covering the UFL short league league when he was the head coach of the Las Vegas Locos. He was very accommodating, very generous with his time. And you could just tell the guy loved football, and he was just so cool to us. A lasting impact for sure.
Yeah, living in Vegas down there, he just couldn't get rid of the passion to coach, and that was a perfect outlet for him to be able to coach a shorter season in there. And those, I think 3.5 years, whatever, he was very, very successful in that short stint there. Mm-hmm. And man, yeah, he will be missed.
Yeah, you mentioned he just loved to mold young men into men. And, like I said, it was such a pleasure to get to work with him. he was just a class act and very gracious to us. So definitely appreciated there. All right, Dave, we're going to wrap it up. On that note, we want to let the people know so many ways to check out the Football Dudes. The Trend Zone, what you're listening to right now, is available for free for subscription on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher, Blueberry, wherever the hell you get your podcasts.
Yeah, also subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Instagram and Facebook, and follow us on Twitter at FootballDudesLA.
Or if you like to kick it old school, just go to FootballDudes.com.
Yeah.
That is going to do it for this episode of The Trend Zone. He's Dave. I'm Casey. We are out of here.